studies show that there are thousands and thousands of double-blind, triple-blind studies that show that healing from a distance, hands-on healing, clairvoyance, telepathy, ESP, all those anomalous events have a scientific explanation for it. They're dismissed as woo-woo or as pseudoscience. Some psychics say we don't even want to study. I mean, some critics say we don't even want to study the results of these experiments because why study flying pigs? This is a quote. Pigs don't fly. We know that, but they don't know about quantum mechanics. So what we're going to do is define psi science. We're going to look briefly at 65 visionary scientists' insights who I interviewed for a trilogy. We're going to look at quantum mechanics, which is really the explanation. And we're going to talk about some experiments that we can do and practical applications and resources. Okay, so I've talked about psi. So what is that? Psi is a Greek letter, refers to the psyche and to anomalous events that you can't explain with common sense. The Institute of Noetic Sciences, Dean Radin's definition is psi is non-local consciousness that affects psychic phenomena. So non-local means it's everywhere. It's not localized with limited boundaries. And he created seven categories of these anomalous, seemingly supernatural events: communication and control, healing, intelligence, forecasting, archaeology, like discovering ancient sites and graves, that kind of thing, like Stephen Schwartz has done, dowsing, like with a pendulum, counseling, so you see what's really going on. And here's a psi example. I was reading a student in my Zoom clairvoyant class whose mother had recently passed over. And I was really surprised because I saw her mother on the other side sitting with this large standard poodle. And I'd never seen that before. I hadn't seen a person who'd made the transition with an animal. So I told her, I saw your mother with this big white poodle. And she said, "Oh, that's Sophie, our standard poodle. Mom used to watch her when we went out of town. She loved her." So what I imagine is that her mother created this comforting image to be with her as she made the transition. So kind of sweet. And another example of psi is at the University of Virginia School of Perceptual Studies. 2,500 children that they've studied and more remember very specific details of their past lives. And these are in countries around the world, including the US, India, Iran, that kind of thing. And Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona, Julie Beischel is doing research at her institute on mediums. And they are so scientific, they're triple blinded. So there's no cues that are being passed on or that kind of thing. So that's an example of a psi phenomena. And I interviewed 65 visionary scientists who have the courage to do this kind of work. And what I learned is that they said that we're in a big revolution. We're moving from the materialist paradigm to the consciousness paradigm. And one of those physicists, Minas Capito, said, "We're more than we think we are. Non-local dimensions allow for extraordinary abilities." So again, non-local means it's not limited by space or time. There, and we'll get to that when we get to quantum mechanics. Our brains are not just little fatty storage blocks. They're filters and transducers. And the mind, the consciousness, the memories continue in NDEs and after death. And an example of that is a well-known neurosurgeon, Ibn Alexander, had an NDE where he was near death for over a week. And his brain, he said, turned to pus. And it shouldn't have been able to have any memories if the brain was just this physical 3-pound thing. But he wrote books about his intense memories of what it was like on the other dimensions. And he was able to remember because mind exists outside of the body, which is why someone who's having surgery and they turn their brain off can say, oh yeah, you inserted something up the artery in my leg and you played this kind of music and the surgeon made a joke about something. So our brains are more than just neurons or chemical processes. And that's the danger of the materialist paradigm, because it limits us to that and says that we die when we die, where there's nothing more. So it's okay to pollute the earth and whatever, because you're not going to be around to have the consequences. So quantum mechanics and psi involve consciousness from an unknown, non-local source that can't be shielded. And our intention affects it. We'll talk about that. Quantum mechanics is closest to reality, not common sense. And we scientists only know about 5% of the universe. Only less than 5% is known matter. And the rest, as you know, is dark energy and dark matter. Quantum mechanic physicists like Max Planck said it's all a mystery. Atoms don't exist, really. They just are potentials. Consciousness is primary. Materialism is also wrong about time, death, the power of mind, ESP, dreams, the existence of chakras, meridians, etc. So we're in a revolutionary time. And we're changing from this materialist paradigm that started with like Newtonian physics in the 16th century. And we're moving to a consciousness paradigm. So Dean Radin, who's the chief scientist at the Institute of Noetic Science, said what's needed for a new paradigm is a more comprehensive model of reality, where consciousness becomes just as fundamental, if not more so, than materialism. Another one of the people in the trilogy who's well known, Bernardo Kastrup, said materialism is collective madness. It's trance. And it's leading to destruction of our planet. We'll see if Bella can be calmed down. Could you calm down, please, Bella? And it's interesting because, come here, because the ancient philosophers, the idealists, knew that mind was primary. Plato talked about these forms that are like shadows in a cave that are behind everything that's real. And ancient Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism knew that the material world is Maya, illusion. And through meditation, those sages developed psi abilities called siddhis, such as clairvoyance or being in two or three places at the same time. So what I'm saying is that we live in a blip of time when we're in a false paradigm of materialism, and that before that time, and now starting up again, we're moving to a consciousness paradigm. So it's a revolution. And the scientists that I interviewed said this paradigm is a revolution, just like Copernicus had a revolution in the 16th century, when, as you know, he was punished and Galileo was punished for saying that the sun is the center of the solar system. And then Isaac Newton did a lot to implement the division between spirit and matter. Newtonian classical physics is what's still operating. And then Darwin was revolutionary as well. Okay, so what does science tell us? Quantum mechanics says that everything is connected. We'll go more into that. Physics has done a lot of experiments on mind influencing matter. through just observation or intention or emotional connection. And quantum physics explains how, so we'll get to that. But what physics tells us is everything is wavy vibration and frequency, including matter. And that's how come we can do clairvoyance and healing work, because our mind is influencing those wavy vibrations that exist as potential. HeartMath Institute does a lot of research about geomagnetic fields and how the heart is their center of getting coherent so we can influence the field in a positive way. And they say that we're influenced by the Earth's and Sun's magnetic resonance activity, and we feed the Earth's field as well. And they have a meditation where you breathe in your heart. You think about a time when you felt gratitude, love, positive emotion. You ask your heart to guide you in solving an issue, that kind of thing. Bill Bengston, who we'll talk about in a minute, says that what's going on is resonance and information can be transmitted. And that he has done healing work that I'll talk about shortly. And another kind of perspective on what's going on in healing and clairvoyance is we have subtle energy anatomy. We have a biofield, also called an aura. We have chakras, meridians, nadis. We have energy channels in the body, and they can be influenced with our intent, our prayer, our meditation, whatever. Okay, so here's really what's going on is quantum mechanics. So it was developed by young, brilliant German physicists in the early 1900s. And if you don't understand it, they say you got it. They used words like crazy, weird, ununderstandable, incomprehensible, because it violates all our common sense. And so what it says is there's no objective reality outside of observation. So let me say that again. There's nothing fixed. Everything is connected in a unified field, as evidenced by quantum entanglement experiments. What that is we take two electrons and they are paired, moving around an electron. They become what physicists call entangled. And if we take one electron and send it to the other end of the universe and change its spin, the other one instantaneously changes in response. So what this means is they act as if they were still one. And that's why you hear stories about parents who know something happened to their kid, or twins are really entangled and they know what's happening with their twin, even if they were separated at birth. So quantum entanglement tells us there's a field of information and connection that connects everything. Physicists don't know what it is. They don't like to say information field. They sometimes call it a vacuum, but it's filled with a cauldron of potential boiling energy. So they really don't understand it. Max Planck said, I've spent my entire life studying atoms and molecules, and I'm here to tell you they don't exist. The mind is the matrix of all matter. So that's in a nutshell. The reason we can do clairvoyant and healing work is this mind that we're part of is the matrix of all matter. So what's happening on the quantum small level is things like photons that create light and phonons that create sound exist in what physicists called superposition. And that means, and this is hard to get your mind around, they exist in many states, many worlds. Many worlds is the name of one of the theories about quantum mechanics at the same time. They just exist in potential in many possible realms, and they only make up their mind when they're observed or detected.
Hmm.
And scientists are working on entangled particles right now to use in quantum computing, because they act like they're one, but they can be in two places at the same time. So they can use that in quantum computing. So on the small quantum level, quanta pulse as potential or probability in all possible worlds out of space and time. So only when we observe it, and it doesn't need to be a human, it can be a detector. This is a famous double slit experiment where they found when the slit was observed by a detector, then the interference pattern at the other end of the slits changed. So one pattern was with they're not observed or detected. The other pattern is if they were. And then when they're not observed or detected anymore, then they go back to the non-observed state.
Wow. So,
and they flicker. So all this kind of activity is flickering off and on. So what I'm picturing is that because there's like the atoms are 99% empty. Our bodies are really 99% empty. So that means that if we have an intent, if we have a focus, that we can direct it at a goal of healing our friend's nerve issue. So that's my thesis, is that the way healing and clairvoyance work is because of quantum mechanics. Consciousness versus matter, not the other way around. And they call this the hard problem of consciousness, because scientists go nuts trying to figure out how can matter give birth to consciousness, because they assume that matter is first and primary. But the fact is, according to the new consciousness paradigm, that consciousness is first and it gives birth to matter. So it solves the problem, the hard problem of consciousness. So what this means is, I really recommend the book, The Quantum Revelation by Paul Levy. And he says, what we focus on is what manifests. So that's profound when you think about that. And the question is, well, how do we apply this? And in this book by Joe Dispenza, recommended by our friend Ian, called Becoming Supernatural, he says we can use quantum mechanics to achieve our goals. And that's because the universe is infinite possibility. And if he does use the word field of intelligence and consciousness, beyond space and time. So he says the way to access it is to become non-body, no one, nothing, to get out of any kind of fixed notion of what is. And so you stay aware in the present by meditating. You want your brain waves to get coherent, move into relaxed lower and alpha theta brain waves. And then once you're in that neutral position, I think the idea is you can influence the probability field, the field of intelligence, by being so neutral and so focused. So what he suggests is write down the specifics of your clear goal, which creates an electrical charge. Write down the elevated emotions, the good emotions that you'll feel when you manifest the goal, such as gratitude and joy, which creates a magnetic charge. So he said you're creating a new electromagnetic frequency that's a vibrational match with the goal. And epigenetics tells us that our genes express according to our environment. Like a smoker is going to have different gene expression than a non-smoker. And so changing your electromagnetic field changes your gene expression, which can be a good thing. And then he says, tune into this goal with the elevated emotions every day. So the example he gives is his son wanted a job where he would have a certain amount of money, total freedom to surf, and, you know, love the job. And his son did the process, walked into a surf shop. Someone there was looking for an engineer like him to work on fins for surfboards. He could do that. It was the perfect job. And he didn't fill out a resume or do anything. And Dispenza says, when you do this properly, it'll come to you. So you'll, the vibrational match will happen. Okay, and then what we're saying is your thoughts have power. What's the evidence for that? To me, the most important thing is that people with multiple personalities called dissociative identity disorder, they have different illnesses with different alters. So this subpersonality could have diabetes, but this subpersonality not. This subpersonality could wear glasses, but personality B not. This one could be allergic to this medication and the other not. To me, that's profound. So you change the personality in the same body and have a totally different health history. So that's profound. And then we all know about placebo, that oftentimes it's as effective, 45% or 50 or more effective as the drug that is used in the trial. And currently Harvard professor Ted Kapitschuk, however you say his name, is working on placebo effect. And what he found is it works even if you tell them this is a sugar pill. It's helped other people with their pain or whatever. It works. It has an impact. Part of it could be that it's a caring person in a white coat giving you a pill. So it evokes belief that doctors know how to cure if you have that belief. We know that in hypnosis, you could tell someone, I am putting a burning cigarette on your skin, and you put a pencil and they get a blister. We react physically to an image, like in a movie. We get scared, we cry, we laugh, whatever. And it's just a little light on a screen. There's lots of studies of mental rehearsal. So if I want to improve my golf game, not that I have one, then I practice the right kind of swing. Or they've done research where if you mentally rehearse strengthening your finger, it has impact almost as much as actually exercising. Dean Radin and Stephen Schwartz are two people who have done research on intention changing matter. And what they do is they take chocolate, tea, wine, those are the substances that I know about, and they divide them into two parts. And they have one part blessed, like by a Buddhist monk or us. And then they have people try the two different kinds of wine or tea or chocolate. And the ones that were blessed, the people like them better, improves their mood. They think they taste better, whatever. Remission of terminal diseases. The Institute of Noetic Sciences put together a bibliography of cases where people had stage 4 cancer and remitted. A book by Jeffrey Redinger called Cured. He spent years collecting cases where people had terminal illnesses and they ended, they were fine. And what he found is the key was they changed their sense of self, like who they were, their identity, which ties into our first point about people with DID, different personalities have different health outcomes. So if we want to heal, then we need to change our identity. Synchronicity is another example of psi the power of thought and intention. And Gary Schwartz is one of the visionary scientists in my trilogy. He, you can read about it in the Visionary Scientist blog. He had 19 encounters with little yellow duckies. So synchronicity is not common sense. Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, developed this concept after he had a patient who had a dream, and the same kind of symbol came up in an insect that came up on the window. I forget, maybe it was a butterfly, I've forgotten what it was, but it was the repeat of what they were talking about. Now this is really impactful. Random number or random event generators, they call them, they respond to a global emotion. I don't know if you know about these studies, but when you think about it, it's really amazing that human thought can affect machines. So these rings are little computers that spit out zeros or ones. And what happens when there's human intent or chicks, I'll talk about in a minute, then they become more coherent. They become a pattern. And so what they find is that when the whole world is focused on an event, then the rings change. But it has to be unified. Because like around the world, soccer matches, football matches, the playoffs at the end are huge, but they don't register on the rings because some people are voting for Argentina and some people are voting for, you know, Italy or whatever. So it's interesting, even if the whole world is focused on the soccer match, they don't impact because they're in opposition. The Princeton Engineering Lab worked on this under Roger Nelson, who's in the books. And then they turned it over after he retired to HeartMath. So there's rings around the world that are collecting data about human emotion. And they're also using trees. So I have a tree in my backyard that HeartMath has hooked up, and they're looking to see if trees can like predict earthquakes or see what they respond to. We tried to influence the trees, you know, a little graphing by focusing on it, but we didn't have impact. So it takes more than that. Another one was they put rings. They had baby chicks imprint on them. So the baby chicks related to the random number generator as their mother. And they separated after they imprinted, they separated the chicks and put them on the other side of where the ring was, and the ring moved around, and the ring, instead of a kind of random path, the ring moved to the side where the baby chicks were, because the baby chicks wanted their mother. So when you think about it, that's really profound. Baby chicks can influence the motion of the machine. Another evidence for the power of thought and attention is remote viewing. And Bella, the U.S., the CIA, the federal government paid for remote viewers during the Cold War to look at Soviet missile sites and that kind of thing. And they were able to draw like a new Soviet missile or submarine. And the CIA said, oh, no, they could never develop a big submarine like that. But the remote viewers had it exactly right. So I think that's pretty compelling evidence. And then we talked about the aura, the energy body, the subtle anatomy. And those are two photographs at different times of my energy field. And then you've probably heard about Emoto's work. So Masaru Emoto was a Japanese scientist, and he writes about his work in Hidden Messages in Water. And what he would do, in case you haven't heard, is he would take Tokyo tap water and then expose it to heavy metal music or Beethoven or a loving couple or a word like Nazi, or I will kill you, or you fool. And you can, and then he would freeze the water and slice it and look at the pattern. And he was criticized because there wasn't replication, but Dean Radin, my hero, replicated it. They were able to do this kind of influence on water. And Emoto was also criticized because he would pick the images, you know, the most beautiful or coherent. So Radin took care of that. So that's another example of thinking imprints water. And now this is incredible. William Bengston is incredible. And he's in the Mysteries of Healing. And what he does is he injects mice with mammary cancer. And then he has skeptics who don't believe in healing and woo-woo put their hands over their cage. Or his main method is he calls it cycling. So what you do is you list 20 things that you want. So I want a Porsche. I want a new computer. I want to go to Portugal, whatever it is. And then you recite, you cycle it in your mind. Computer, Porsche, Portugal. And so he does this all the time now, and his healers do it. And so he thinks what's happening is that you're sending this wish for good things happening into the future. And then the mice immune system reads the good things happening in the future and heals. And what he found is that this is good for healers to know. Healing occurs in non-linear bursts. Nothing happens, and then suddenly there's a change. The tumor from the breast cancer in the mice gets bigger and then suddenly disappears. And he found the more aggressive the cancer, the more quickly it's cured. The more mice in the study, the faster they collectively heal. And I pressed him, what do you think is going on? And he said he thinks it's about frequency and information, and it's generating an immune response. And he recorded somehow, I'm not clear, his healers doing their work generated frequencies, which he could record. And then they sent them to cancer cells in petri dishes, and cancer genes changed as a result of being exposed to these frequencies. So that's pretty profound. He said healing perhaps stems from information packets like radio transmission at the request of the healee. And what's interesting, his system works best on removing rather than adding. Like they do well on Alzheimer's and heal the plaque. They do well on cancer, getting rid of the cancer cells. But they don't do well on like Parkinson's, where you need to add dopamine to the brain. So they're good at removing rather than replacing. Okay, now he just did a new study that's mind-blowing. And what he did is he took a group of COVID patients in West Africa. And he had a control group and his group, and they all were in the hospital because they tested for COVID. And he got people with similar symptoms. Bella? Yeah. So then think about this. He did his healing method where he's cycling his desires over water. And then he took the water and duplicated it, just like they do in homeopathy, kind of. And then he gave sublingual, under the tongue, this charged water to the patients with COVID. And the ones that got his charged water had fewer positive tests, CPR tests, better health outcomes than the control patients. And they only did it for, I think, a couple of weeks or a week. So this is really profound when you think you can charge water, or he also uses cotton, duplicate it, send it out in water or cotton or frequency and heal people. I mean, that's amazing, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So his list of wants created the harmonic frequency, and just it, the harmonic frequency, regardless of the source of wants, had a positive impact on people who didn't necessarily want those wants. They just benefited from the harmony. Is that right?
I don't know if you'd say harmony. I think it's more about desire. So that,
but it was his desires, right?
Yeah,
it was the patient's desires.
Right. So his desires are completely different than the mice. The mice just want to get rid of their tumors. They don't care about Porsches or
right,
that kind of thing.
Right. Cool.
So it's amazing, right?
It is.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is he can't get any labs to duplicate his work. And I tried at Butte College Nursing, Chico State Nursing, Reading Nursing. I said, this guy's healed cancer with frequency. Would you be willing to have some mice in a cage, beam them frequencies, and see if the ones that are injected with the breast cancer heal? No one was interested in trying it. So he finally found a lab in Japan, and the results aren't out yet, but I'm really eager for them to see what the results are. So that's an example of how the materialist paradigm is short-sighted, tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, and he has multiple cases of the mice being healed. That what happens is they get the breast cancer, they get tumors, the tumors get bigger, and then they dissolve, and the mice live their regular two-year cycle. Whereas the mice that aren't treated die. So he got very clear studies with mice, and then he trains healers, and they have stories of, you know, working on people. And he is a tennis player. He injured his Achilles tendon, something in his leg. He charged the cotton, taped it on his leg, I guess, and he was healed quickly.
Just like a t-shirt? What kind of cotton?
Well, he says it's better to use, I think, sterile cotton. He said you can't reuse the cotton, because some women reuse the cotton and got the symptoms from whatever it was that it was used for. So it's you could use cotton balls.
But yeah. Fresh ones every day, it sounds like.
Well, just as long as you have the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the same issue. Okay, and then Shamani Jain is a PhD who did her dissertation where she did hands-on healing using Rosalind Breyer's technique on breast cancer patients who are suffering from fatigue, and their cortisol rhythms got unbalanced and out of rhythm because of, I don't know, chemo and surgery or whatever they had. And so the people that had the hands-on healing had better outcomes and less fatigue, and their cortisol rhythms balanced out. And then her latest thing is she's did a Zoom where McCusick, I don't know how to pronounce her name, does sound healing with tuning forks. And she used the tuning forks and other healers sent through Zoom to reduce anxiety levels. And they had positive statistical outcomes. So again, they use tuning forks to reduce anxiety, and they weren't even in the same room. They were just on Zoom. So again, yeah. Evidence, no time, no space, non-locality when you're working on the quantum level.
Geraldine Glass has amazing YouTubes. She was an opera singer, or maybe still is. Who used crystal bowls to tone with, to improve her tone. And she had a very musically gifted son who died young. And she was so sad about that. It took her healing journey took her into making, you know, getting just the most amazing jewel encrusted or jewel created crystal bowls with all kinds of tones and frequencies. And then she does these crystal bowl healing, she calls them tune-ups, that she puts out on YouTube. And I've listened to them on video over and over again, and they're just amazing the way they shift.
Spell,
your
spell her name again, please.
J-E-R-A-L-Y-N Glass, G-L-A-S-S.
Oh, great.
They're amazing. They're like 15 minutes long, and they, she puts them together kind of like a cook, you know, a little of this and a little of that. And this, and this concert's all about, you know, improving your endocrine system and that kind of thing.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So you could say I have nerve damage in my body, and she would put together a special recipe for you.
Well, she puts them out, and then you can kind of see what they are and play the ones that resonate for you.
Great. Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of study of intercessory prayer, where they have prayer groups of different kinds of religious groups pray for people often who've had recent cardiac arrests, heart attacks in hospitals. And then, you know, they have one group that's prayed for, another group that's not, check their outcomes, and they have better outcomes. Larry Dossey is a physician, also in the trilogy, who wrote Prayer is Good Medicine. And in Mysteries of Healing, if he said, if I had to pick the most important factor that sets all this in motion, the effect of prayer, it would be love, compassion, and deep caring. So that's kind of what Joe Dispenza said, is that you need elevated emotions as a part of the impact to get your electromagnetic field properly charged. And then emotional freedom technique, there's been lots of studies of acupressure tapping efficacy, especially for PTSD and vets. And David Feinstein and Dawson Church have done a lot of the research, and you can find it on researcheftuniverse.com and eftinternational.org. So they're working with the biofield as well, with the meridians, acupressure points, left-right brain balance, eye movement. So there's lots more of this evidence with the visionary scientists and the mysteries of healing, the mysteries of reality, and the mysteries of knowledge beyond our senses. The most common clairvoyant experiment, we just looked at healing experiments, is the Ganzfeld. And what that is a sender is telepathically sending one of four images. Like it's could be a video clip, and there are four possibilities that the computer selects. One is selected, the sender sends the clip like a a goat climbing a mountain, and then the receiver is in a room with their eyes covered, listening to white noise, and they do better than statistical average in picking the image that was being sent. And I think what's important to say is that in all the psi experiments, just about the statistical differences are small, but they're not random. So what that indicates is there's something that's going on that influences matter, that intent does have power. There was a meta-analysis of 29 Ganzfeld studies, and it produced a hit rate of 32%, when it should have been, by chance, of course, 25. So again, it's small but significant. If you want to have one summary of psi experiments that show that it works, a Swedish, Mexican, Swede named Etzel Cardina did an American Psychologist Journal overview in 2018. And Jessica Utz is a statistician, and she is also in the trilogy and gives the statistical support for psi research. And so there's all kinds of practical applications of psi science. It gives us a knowledge that our mind is more than we think it is. What it is to be a human is more than we've been taught. It has to do with our power to heal. It has to do with spontaneous remission, what we learn from dissociative identity people, what we've learned from the power of prayer, power of intent sent through resonance and frequencies, hypnosis, remote viewing. Charles Tart has done a lot of this kind of work, and he says that it could be remote viewing could be used in therapy. You could remote view what's going on with my client, which we kind of do in clairvoyant sessions. We've seen that rings respond to human emotion and chick intent as well. And we need to learn to listen to and pay attention to get information from our intuition, ESP, dreams, meditation, that kind of thing. Pay attention to ancient healing practices because they understood the universe much better than traditional materialist paradigm understands now. And biofield healing. Let's see. Then to me, the main application or a main application of psi is that we have a mental health crisis for kids. Our kids are suffering. A CDC report this year found that 57% of high school girls face persistent sadness or hopelessness, double the 29% for boys. One in three girls had seriously considered suicide, 13 had attempted it. Young people are telling us they're in crisis, said Dr. Kathleen Effler. And obviously the question is why the rise? Part of it was the isolation during COVID. People have emphasized social media, but in my interviews with youth for various books, Global Youth, I don't think it's that. I think it's their pressure to succeed in a difficult world, competitive world. And they worry about their future and the planetary future. They know we're destroying the planet. Well, I would have anxiety too, sadness and hopelessness. And I put together a list of resources for parents working with kids on my website, gailkimble.info. Another application of psi is we can do clairvoyant reading. And I would say the key principles are before you start, be bilateral. So cross crawl, make sure you're aligned properly, not scrambled. Muscle test to make sure you're not scrambled. Be sure you're grounded, centered in the sixth chakra. If emotions arise, you've dropped down to a lower chakra. See what issue lit up for you, clear it, and go back to your sixth. Make sure that you're protected. Visualize like roses all the way around your field. Left brain gets in the way because it goes, oh, I don't know if this stuff works. How can you really read someone's psyche from a distance? So just ask a lot of questions. What's going on? Why do I see this? What's this color? And what we first do is just read and don't do anything about it. It's kind of passive, just observing. And then if you want to go into healing mode, then it's active. And at the end, it's a good idea to separate from the person that you're working with. And you can use a clairvoyant template. Lewis Bostwick used the rose. And in my Essential Energy Tools book, I explained all the symbolism of the rose, like roots or how grounded the person is. David Furlong is a British clairvoyant. And in the Zoom class, we've experimented with reading the person as if they're a castle or a vehicle. I read like reading a movie clip and then let the movie start playing. James von Prague, the medium, says, be aware of all your body sensations. You know, your body will tell you a lot. And we have all kinds of healing tools available to us. We have intention and visualization. Cindy Dale talks about calling in spirit-to-spirit connections, streams of grace. We have our hands. We have can use symbols like Reiki does. We can call in colors, sounds. We can call on spiritual icons like angels or Mother Mary, Kuan Yin. We can do acupressure tapping, like emotional freedom technique. And the resources are here.